Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes, I want to take a portion of scripture from this book, and then I want to follow this thought as we look in the New Testament and get an example. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I sure appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach this morning. Thank you, Brother Jarvis, for asking me to preach. I'm thankful for what our hearts heard last night, for the message that we heard this morning already. What a great blessing and a strength it was to our walk with God, to be reminded as well, our God is a consuming fire. We understand that He can consume what's on the altar, but we need Him to consume our heart. Amen? That's what we need. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I want you to look with me in verse 9 through verse 12. I appreciate all the prayers that have been prayed for me, certainly trying to find the mind of the Lord for this morning. And I guess you'll see my heart here in just a second as we look at it in the scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at verse 9. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Keep this passage in mind. We'll come back to it at the very end of the message. Look at Acts chapter 18. The Bible just said that two are better than one. I want to look at two individuals in our Bible this morning. I want to study their lives and glean what we can. There's two individuals that every time you find them mentioned in your Bible, you always find them mentioned together. They are never mentioned separately, ever, in your Bible. And the Bible tells us that two are better than one. And I want to preach on this thought this morning, better together. Better together. Acts chapter 18, if you'll look at verse 1 through 3, I'll read you these verses and then we'll pray and preach the thought that God has given us. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And the Bible says, and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. I want to look at the life of Aquila and Priscilla this morning and see what the Bible has to say. Now, I know that all you preachers in your church probably have preached. If you've preached through the book of Acts or the New Testament, I know that you've talked about Aquila and Priscilla. And maybe I've never just been in the meeting. It's an unusual passage of scripture God's given me for this meeting this morning, because for me, being saved 35 years, being in a lot of meetings, I've never heard anybody in a meeting preach on Aquila and Priscilla. Now, maybe you have. I just never have. But yet God has put them on my heart this morning. And when we see them in the Bible, there's one thought we can come with out at the end of studying their life and their marriage. They absolutely were better together. Together, they were better. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we try to preach this thought. Lord, I pray may the Holy Ghost of God settle into our hearts this morning, that we can glean from the scripture the truths that will resonate so deeply, that will compel us in our marriages to be more what we're supposed to be, in our ministries to be more what we're supposed to be. And I pray that you'll bless the preaching today. Help me. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. My heart this morning really looking at preachers and preachers' wives. Preachers and preachers' wives. I don't know about you, but I've seen too much over the years of pastors and pastors' wives disconnected in the ministry. I've seen ministries where I've seen it's all the pastor, and the pastor's wife is just a parasite attached along for the ministry. The children not active at all in the ministry. Children are just there, not serving. The wife is not doing much to serve. He's the pastor. Everybody looks at him as a pastor. And it's sad when I've read statements when they have done certain studies that many pastors' wives have said the worst day of her life is when her husband entered the ministry. Isn't that a horrible thing to be said? I'm going to tell you, because there's a disconnect ministering together. My call, my wife, God has given her to me as a helpmeet to me. We serve God together. This is not me doing my thing, her doing her thing. This is not calling me and she's just in the background watching it all go on. I decided when God put me in the ministry, I knew God put my children in the ministry to serve with me. Along my side to come. This is a journey we're taking together. Serving God. I understand the Levites, their sons and daughters were to come up behind them serving in the ministry. And I'm telling you, God put you together because you're better together. And if that's not happening, something's wrong that needs to be fixed. Better together. Let's just look at their lives. I want to take our time. I don't want to prolong the message, but I don't want to miss what's here in the text. Acts chapter 18, the Bible says that the Aquila and Priscilla, he was born in Pontus and came from Italy. Now, the Bible's going to tell us why he came from Italy, and he's in Corinth. That's where Paul finds him. So they come from Italy. Here's what the Bible says: because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Here's what you need to understand in this text. Their lives, Aquila and Priscilla, their lives were turned upside down at the moment of a command of Claudius. Get out. You're a Jew. You're a Jew. You want to talk about racism. You're talking about hated and despised. Get out of Rome. If you're a Jew, get your stuff as quick as you can. Get out of here. Now, most of us will never, ever experience anything like that. Imagine how unsettling that must have been. Grab what you can, get what you can, get out. There's a mass exodus of Jews leaving. God, what are you doing? We don't understand. Why is this happening? Where do we go? How do we get there? Do you realize when they come to Corinth, they're 700 miles from home? Now, it isn't taking a flight. It's not driving a car. I mean, they're tent makers, they're business, they just picked it up. Now, I just try to think like a man. If I was, and that's the way you are to think if you're a man, amen? But I'm trying to think of Aquila here and how he must have thought. If that happened to me and I had a business and I made tents, I'd have went around and said, does anybody know where they need tents at? Where's the greatest growth of population where we can make tents? And somebody says, I tell you what, probably Corinth is a good place. Sweetheart, that's where we're going. We're going to Corinth. We're going to go make some tents. And they just headed out and they went to Corinth. Now, I want to make a statement to you that really God help. I hope he'll settle this in your heart. Providence sometimes is painful. They're made to get out of Italy. They don't understand. They don't know why. Just because they're Jews. But I'm telling you, it is the providential hand of God sending them down to Corinth. Their life is unsettled. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know the future. Can I remind you? But you know what I realized? It seemed that they just simply trusted in the Lord through this process. I'm reminded in the book of Genesis chapter 42, remember that Jacob said, Joseph is not. Now, if you want to look at providence being painful, look at Joseph's life. Providential hand of God's not always full of blessings and it's all wonderful and it's all easy. It is painful. It is hurtful. It is uncertain. It is to the place sometimes you're perplexed because you don't know what God's doing. And listen to me, you just have to trust Him. He knows you and what's going on in your life. It didn't take God by accident. We know the Bible says, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And to them that are called according to his purpose. That was written after this happened to Aquila and Priscilla. That wasn't written. They didn't have Romans chapter 8 to read yet. And say, we just need to love the Lord because it's going to work for our good. Here's what Paul said. Because God's people confronted with a situation like that just loved him and trusted him. And that's why Paul could write this truth, the principle of this promise. He said, and we know. See, it's not something he wrote, then people figured it out and said, we need to trust that verse so it'll happen. He wrote a verse that people had already experimentally been living. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you remember when Jacob said this? Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And you take away Benjamin also. Here's his statement. All these things are against me. I'm afraid we have that attitude too many times when our world gets turned upside down. This is just against me. Every bit of it was working for Jacob. The providential hand of God was working circumstances to deliver a nation that it would survive. And though it all seemed to be bad, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you everything's good. You've heard enough preaching on Romans 8:28. I just need to remind you before you get further in the message that it's not good, but I'm telling you, there's a good God that can bring good out of it if you'll trust Him. I'm telling you, providence is painful. I wasn't even going to tell this story, and I'll make it brief, but I had a preacher about a year ago sat in my office and just poured out. His life's turned upside down, ministry things have happened, people, and he was bitter. And I stopped him. I said, brother, I love you, but let me say something to you. You're bitter. He said, what? I said, you're bitter, and God can't use a bitter preacher. God will not use a bitter preacher. And I said, God knows all about what's going on in your life. And where God's trying to take you, He cannot get you there without the circumstances in your life getting you there. And everything that God is working, He's working it for your good. And these things that are not right and they're bad. But I'm telling you, the providential hand of God takes us through some hard places to get us to the right place. And here's Aquila and Priscilla. And do you realize what could happen many times? Things like that could rip a marriage apart. He didn't make the right decision, and I don't agree, and all this is going on, and she falls apart, and she goes into depression, and he's depressed. God's forgotten us, and all these bad things, and getting bitter with God, and our livelihood, and our business is gone, and where do we go? Do you realize what the devil will try to do to you? Trust the Lord. I don't know what you're going through this morning, dear child of God. Hey, pastor, pastor's wife, I don't know what's going on that you don't have any answers for. It's perplexed. You can't figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust Him. Do what you're supposed to do in the process. Love God. That's what you're supposed to do. Love Him. He'll work it out for your good. I promise. And you'll be glad on the other side when you look back and see the thread of the grace of God that carried you through. And wow, man, I would never be here. All that stuff that I didn't like, just trusting Him, it had to happen. So here's Aquila and Priscilla. I see the providence of God. Paul finds out, hears about them, maybe because they're tent makers. The Bible says that they are of the same profession. Look what the Bible says. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. Now, to me, this is a blessing. I would say this to you, that they took their business and they glorified God with it. Man, they gave an apostle a job. I mean, it's of the same craft, and Paul's working with them. A year and 6 months, they're together in Corinth. And not only that, they opened their home. The Bible said he abode with them. I want you to think about it. Even though they're traveling, now you say, man, where did they stay along the way? In a tent. For 700 miles in a tent. What else would they have lived in their journey? Let me tell you, God had His providence in what they did for a living. Think about it, other people didn't have a tent. They weren't tent makers. And they had to get up and go. But even in their lives, God had been providing for them for what was going to come their way. So the Bible says that Paul abode with them. And so he was a tent maker. The Bible says a man shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now let me talk to you about Aquila's name. I always study names in the Bible. I study just about every name anybody I'm preaching on. I study their names. I think we can learn something maybe about their character in their names. Aquila, his name literally means an eagle. Say, what's significant about that? An eagle is a symbol of holding the highest of standards. It is a symbol of strength and might, a symbol of integrity, and a symbol of courage. That's what an eagle stands for. I think we can see something about this man. And we're going to no doubt, the way they handled all they did and what they went through, he must have been a man like that with that kind of integrity. The eagle is a king of birds. It is one of the most noble symbols of armory that signifies greatness. It is not, an eagle is not fearful of serpents. Matter of fact, they feed on serpents if you study the eagle. And so that's Aquila, what his name means. Now Priscilla, her name literally means this. Listen to me, ladies. Her name means ancient, old-fashioned. That's what her name means. So what's significant about that? It means she is opposed to the modern way of living. She lives by old culture. She believes that she should submit to her husband and reverence her husband. His call is their call. She's created to be his helpmeet. In other words, she would not have embraced the feminist movement that has crept into our churches today. She'd have been totally against that. She would have maintained old-fashioned standards. And so that's what her name is. It lets us know just a little bit about her. Look at Acts chapter 18. We see it show up again in verse 18. So this is significant now. As we looked at those first few verses, their names show up. Aquila is mentioned first, then Priscilla. Look in verse 18 with me. The Bible says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a great while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him," this is interesting, "Priscilla and Aquila." What? "He took with him," and it says, "having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." Now, you're going to find six times, I'll tell you this at the beginning of the message, six times they're mentioned in your Bible. Every time they're mentioned together. If you start in Acts chapter 18, the first three verses, you find Aquila is mentioned, then Priscilla. In sequence throughout your King James Bible, the second time we find their names, it's Priscilla, then Aquila. The third time we find their name in sequence, it will be Aquila, then Priscilla. The fourth time, it's Priscilla, Aquila. The fifth time, Aquila, Priscilla. And the last time, it will be her name, and then his name. Now let me say to you, there's nothing like that by accident in your Bible. Never is that just by coincidence. And we sometimes as men would think, well, bless God, his name should have been mentioned first every time. Well, you really got a problem. I'm going to give you a few reasons why I believe their names are like that. Here's one reason. I believe that she had an equal heart for God as he had. I believe she loved the Lord as much as he loved the Lord. And I believe that she loved God and preachers and preaching in the church. We're going to see that her heart was equal with his heart, that they are one. We see a oneness. We see a unity. When you see one, you see the other. I told my wife this morning when I was preaching, she said, "I'm not able to go. I'm not going to be with you." But she's with me in spirit. She's been praying for me and texting me already. And while I'm here preaching this morning, we got new children's ministry started tomorrow night. She's spending her entire day trying to get that ready, preparing for our ministry. So though we may not be together, friend, we're together. We're together, working together, laboring together in the ministry. And so the Bible tells us here that they sailed with Paul. Now it's interesting that her name was mentioned first, and I don't know, maybe something like this happened that she said, Aquila, you know, Paul's fixing to head out and he's fixing to go preach new places and places that haven't heard the gospel. And I think, wouldn't that be wonderful to go on a mission trip and just go with him? And I think Aquila probably said something like this: "You know what, sweetheart, I was thinking the same thing. Let's just pack up and go. Let's just go with him. Let's just pack up and let's just go." One thing that you'll find with Aquila and Priscilla, they seem to always be of one mind. Does not our Bible say, "Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel?"
Our Bible also tells us verses about having a oneness when it comes to a oneness. And many times we talk about that only being in the church. I believe that ought to be in your marriage. I believe, hey, preacher, preacher's wife, I believe that ought to be in your ministry. That ought to exemplify your ministry having the same mindset. The Bible says, be of the same mind one toward another, Romans 12. Romans 15, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Verse 6 of that chapter, that you may be what that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, preacher, preacher's wife, brother, sister. If you cannot be the example of oneness and one mouth, one spirit, one mind, one mouth glorifying God with unity for the Lord, how in the world do you expect your church to be able to do it? How? I mean, I'm supposed to be the example. Me and my wife are supposed to be that example to our church. When they see there's a division and a disconnect between the husband and the wife, and it's just all the preacher, let me say to you, any of you young preachers in here, you're planning on getting married someday, it does matter who you marry. You better be favors, deceitful beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I've got some men that I've talked to that preach and they want to be in the ministry. And I've had one sit down and talk to me and said, preacher, I believe my wife is saved, but I've never seen her sitting around reading the Bible. I've never walked in on seeing her in the morning. She doesn't get her Bible and read it. She's in church. I mean, in church every single service. This man, I'm telling you, preach and have the touch of God on him when he preaches and loves the Bible, loves the church, loves the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a problem. He won't amount to much ever in the ministry if that wife don't get her heart lined up equally with his heart. You're going to find some things about Aquila and Priscilla both as we study this and look at this, that we need to be sure we have in our lives as preachers and preachers' wives. I believe they're the greatest New Testament example of a marriage that honors God. The best New Testament example. And here's another reason why I think that maybe Priscilla's name comes first three times. Because Romans 12:10 says that in honor we're supposed to prefer one another. I believe Aquila gave honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. The word prefer means this, to bear in one's mind, to regard and to honor one above yourself, to put another first. That's what I'm supposed to do when it comes to my spouse, to prefer her. And because of his heart and their marriage, I believe that God many times honored her in the scripture by putting her name first. And so you'll see this. If you look with me, look in chapter 18, go down to verse 24 in the text. The Bible says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, he came to Ephesus. Remember, Paul left Priscilla and Aquila there. I don't know why he left them. But you realize what I understand again? The providence of God is at work. A man named Apollos is fixing to come through Ephesus. Mighty in the scriptures, eloquent, only knowing the baptism of John. And God's fixing to use Aquila and Priscilla in a right spirit to help this preacher get his doctrine right. And he goes on and helps so many people. Look what the Bible says. He's mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. I tell you what, whatever you do know, you need to be diligent about. Whatever you do know, you need to be fervent about in spirit. Verse 26, and the Bible says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Now let me say something to you. They were in church together. How in the world does a marriage survive? And I know that many times that the women are more spiritual than the men. I have some of those in my church. The women love God. They want to be there all the time. Their husbands put other things first. They're not really the spiritual leader. They don't have the spiritual hunger that she has. And they're divided when it comes to their spirituality in the home. And then I see men that are on fire for God, and their wives don't have a spiritual aptitude for preaching. Men are loving preaching, and they're studying. They're studying. They know what they believe. You know what you're going to find out about Aquila in this text? She knew the scripture. Priscilla and Aquila, she knew the scripture. She was discipled as Paul the Apostle preached for a year and 6 months they were with him. She soaked up the doctrine. She knew what she believed and why she believed it. Now let me say something right here. It should not only be the men if a heresy is preached from a Bible that only the men catch it in the church. It shouldn't be the man comes home and say, you know, that ain't right. She says, what? I think everything he said is okay. You ought to know your Bible, ladies. God expects you to study your Bible. He says, I have children. I know all that, but I'm telling you, if it's important to you, God, this Bible, God has required you to love the Scripture and know the Scripture. You don't get an exemption from it because you have babies. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying. We raised four. My wife homeschooled 20 years, 40 kids. But there has never, she would die dead if I said this, before God, there has never been a day in 35 years being married to her that I've seen her every day in her Bible. I've never, that I could recount, ever remember a day ever that I did not see my wife pick her Bible up and spend time with God. 35 years. The success of your life spiritually is going to be based on your time in this, making this preeminent. The Bible tells us here in these verses, if you'll look at it again, as Apollos is coming to preach, they heard Aquila and Priscilla, heard him. You see his name first again in the text, then her. It is switched. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now let me say something here before anybody thinks, well, you know, my preacher's wrong and I just walk up after church and straighten him out. They had some character about themselves. They took him aside, not in public. Not at the back door of the church. Not to the pulpit as soon as he gets done. They took him unto themselves aside. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe the reason his name is first in the text, because he was one. He was the one. It wasn't his wife saying, Paulus, we need to talk to you. You're all messed up. I don't know any preacher says, yes, sister, I can't wait to talk to you. I'm just telling you. The fastest way to turn a preacher off is let a woman try to come straighten him out on his doctrine. I'm just being honest. Preacher, say amen. Even if you're white, I'm just telling you. He took the initiative. Even though she was right, she knew her Bible. She knew the scripture from being taught by Paul the Apostle. But I believe that Aquila was the one that walked up and he said, Apollos, we want you to come to our house. He didn't say, we need you to come to our house. We're going to straighten you out. I believe they just invited him for fellowship and love and had an intent with the right heart. And they got there and they said, let's talk about some of it. Man, what great preaching. I believe they probably said, man, what great preaching. But have you ever heard this? Paul the Apostle, what's the... And they began to expound to him the scriptures more perfectly. They began to show it to him. And I'm going to tell you, Apollos with his spirit, his mind began to be illuminated. He began to receive it. And they're talking about the things of God. And she was able to implement and talk and the excitement of knowing the Bible and what the Lord has done. She had a part in that. She had a part in it. Ladies, study your Bible. So they did it together. You know what you find every time you see them? They're doing things together. Man, we're missing that. A ministry... There are so many things in Gethsemane Baptist Church that my wife came to me and said, I've been praying about something, and what do you think about this? Whether it's Vacation Bible School. I'm telling you, left out, I'm just me. Vacation Bible School, never would have ever, no way, friend. I meant like, man, I want to get 100 kids together and spend 5 days with them, feeding them, playing with them, you know. I want to preach to them and y'all take them over there. It's her. I mean, it's her, our kids love it. Our church loves it. It was her and her burden. And there's things that I could mention to you this morning. I could start popping them off. They're coming to my mind. But there's so many of them that God, she came and she said, I've been praying. And what do you think about this? And I'm like, man, I think that'd be great. Let's pray about it. Let's see if God will let us do that. And because of her heart for the Lord and the ministry and to be a help to me, everything our church is, it's not because of this preacher. Because I have a wife that loves God. And has come along working beside me and putting all of her heart and soul into it right next to me. I'm telling you, she's as much in as I am. She's as much in. I thank God for that. That's why I'm warning you young men, you better be real careful how you pick a wife. Girls, you better be real careful. I know this is some may see this as a terrible statement. You'd be better off never be married than married to the wrong one. I believe that with all my heart. All my heart. For any young people listening, I wasn't going to say this morning, but any young people listening, let me say this to you. If the relationship you get in, the relationship you enter, begins to make your heart grow cold and you become less faithful, less of an appetite for spiritual things, and that relationship is a cause of it, do not think it's going to change after you get married. Do not think it's going to change after you get married. Be sure you pick your spouse wisely. First of all, they must be in the Lord. We know that. Marry whomsoever you will in the Lord. But here they begin to expound to him. Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Verse 26, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote and exhorted his disciples to receive the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which have believed through grace. You know who that goes back to? Aquila and Priscilla. He was able to go and preach and help much. Helped much those that had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was a Christ. You know how they showed him the way more perfectly? Wasn't their opinion? It was scripture. They took the scripture. You know what? Well, we feel like this is the right way. No, they took scripture. They were Bible believers and their beliefs. And expound means to explain, to lay open the meaning with clarity. With clarity without obscurity. That's what it means to expound. So they addressed him with honor. They addressed him privately. The Bible. Let me encourage you. If you're not doing this, every married couple in here, let me encourage you. Pray together every day. Get your spouse. Get together. Pray. Let me encourage you, get you a prayer list where both of you have a burden over the same thing and pray about it together. Get together, pray, because see, you're going to be able to rejoice when God begins to answer that. As me and my wife this morning prayed together before we left, God's been answering some things. And pulled aside before I come here and headed up the road and prayed together and called those things out to God, asking God to do them. Share your burdens with each other. You ought to be able to fellowship over the Bible. You know what happens with too many preachers and preachers' wives? They talk about the Bible, they get in an argument, and they go to bed mad. I hope it ain't the case. You ought to be able to fellowship over the things of God. I want to show you, as we move on quickly, look in chapter 16 of Romans. Romans 16, have just a few minutes. May just have to mention a couple of these and just to get them in, move quickly. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla. Here, her name is first. See it? Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Look what Paul said, my helpers in Christ Jesus. You know what you'll find out about them? Man, they just wanted to be a help. Isn't that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, one of the things, ministries of helps? Just be a help. You say, preacher, maybe you're a married couple, you say, no, I'm not a preacher. And you say, preacher, I'm not as preacher's wives. It's only for preachers and preacher's wives. No, every married couple could just be a help to the church. The ministry of help. The ministry of, hey, any husband and wife and kids can pick chairs up at the end of a fellowship and sweep a floor together and help put the food away and haul the trash out and help get the church in order and say, preacher, is there anything else needs to be done? Because we're not about to leave you and your wife here and just a couple here. I want our kids to be involved. Whatever you can do together, get in together. Go to church together. Don't ever send your wife off to church because you're tired or the husband goes and you stay home. I mean, do it what you do together. I promise you, according to the text, you're better together. You can get on the same page with unity. With unity in the same spirit, the same mind. Oh, dear God, what you can do together. That's the way God intended it, to be together. And so the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 16 that they were a help. And then the Bible says that in verse 3. Look at verse 4. Paul said they were a help in verse 3. Verse 4, who have for my life, think about this, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Wow. I'm going to tell you how I am as a man. Does not your Bible say, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren? The only reason they were willing to lay down their necks to die in Paul the Apostle's place so he can go on and preach to the Gentiles and plant churches is because the Bible tells us the love of God. They loved God. They loved the Lord. Now, the way I am as a man, and situations that immediately I want to protect my wife, keep her safe, tell her to leave if I have to die to just be me. But I believe this, maybe he may even said, you know what, Priscilla, I need you to go on home and go on. And she probably just said something like this, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. You know what her heart was? I've been living by your side for Jesus all these years. And if God deems it, I'll die by your side for the Lord Jesus. Well, look at her heart. I don't know about you. That's what we need. We need husbands and wives to have that kind of heart. The word help means to aid, assist, to contribute one's strength and their own means toward accomplishing a cause to effect a purpose. Man, we have the greatest cause there's ever been. We do, the greatest cause. Look at the next verse in the text. This is interesting. Now, her name is mentioned first, Priscilla, then Aquila. But look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the, say this, the what? Church, read it with me, that is in their house. Wow. How many of you would like to have the church in your house? I'm not talking about so you can control it. I'm talking about having the church in your home. They're here. I believe there's a need. The church, the believers had nowhere to meet. And you want to know why? It's just my personal belief. It's just a supposition. Why her name is first? She probably said something like this. She said, Aquila. You see, all these saints of God around here, they have nowhere to meet. You know what I'm thinking? He said, I know exactly what you're thinking. Because that's exactly what I'm thinking. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? She said, I think we're thinking the same thing. But we have our home. It's just us. And probably if you're a tent maker, I'm a builder. And when I was building a house for me, I wasn't thinking about Cracker Box. I'm thinking building something. And I build our house. And if you're a tent maker and you got a home and you're built and you're the one building it and you can save on the labor putting into it, probably build something pretty good size. And she said, we got all kind of room. Why don't we just let them have church in our house? You know what kind of sacrifice that was? If you put a church in some people's houses, it's going to cause bitterness against the brethren. They will become bitter against the church. They never did. Read to the end of the story. They never did. Matter of fact, they stayed so much in love with the church and all churches. But the church was in their house. Much more I could say about that. And I don't have time to do that. Look with me the fifth time they're mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. Let me just mention this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse 19. The fifth time they're mentioned. The Bible says in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Paul said that. The churches of Asia salute you. Look what he said. Aquila, his name's first now in the text. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much. He's writing this epistle to the Corinthians. That's where they were, where they met Paul. And for a year and 6 months, he preached before they went with him. And he said, I want you to know something about Aquila and Priscilla. They salute you much in the Lord. Let me say this to you, friend. Whatever church has ever been instrumental in your life, don't ever forget them. Paul's writing, he said, Aquila and Priscilla want me to tell you. They salute you much. They can't speak enough about. Tell them we love them. Tell them we said hello. Paul, don't forget to write them. When you write them, tell them we said hello. They said, they salute you much in the Lord. Look at this. Not only did they salute much with the church that is in their house. Now when he said the church that's in their house, this church in their house didn't even know the brethren at Corinth. But I believe Aquila and Priscilla talked so much about that church, how good it was, how God taught them there and blessed their lives, and how Paul the Apostle came into their life, and how they had to leave Italy, and they showed up there, and it was a providential hand of God that the Lord blessed them and used them. And they look back to that church, and now they said, Paul said, not only does Aquila and Priscilla, but that church inside their house, I know they don't know you, but they also said, for me to salute you in the Lord. She loved church. Here's a problem in some marriages. One spouse loves church, the other one don't. One spouse loves preaching, the other one don't. One spouse loves the preacher, the other one don't. You can find they had a heart that was in tune. You want to know what I think does that? Scripture. Scripture. And so here we can see that here they are serving the Lord together in the church saluting. Look at the sixth. I'm out of time. Look at the sixth place, and I'm just going to mention this to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Much more I could say about those things, but time would fail us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca, and that's Priscilla, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Now, that's all the Bible says. Paul said salute them. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Many times people have said, why? Why does it said Priscilla 5 times in the Bible, and here it says Prisca. You may have a different opinion on this, but I believe, you know, there's certain people that I get around, their official name is one thing, but when you really get to know them and have a relationship with them, you just call them by that other name. And I think there was such a relationship that Paul had and the church had that she was just, see, in our church over the years, like my mom and dad, my dad was Wayne, my mom was Pat. But our entire church, you know what they called them? Mamaw and Papaw. They were Mamaw and Papaw to everybody. When I got saved, the first deacon of our church, Paul Strickland, had a blessed part of being able to do his funeral. And his name is Leonard Strickland. His wife is Patricia Strickland. When I got saved and came to church, everybody called them Ma and Pa. They were just Ma and Pa to everybody because they loved everybody. They helped their home was open to everybody. As a young believer, they were the first ones. I had just gotten saved. And a few months later, I got called to preach. And they told me, why don't you come over to our house and eat supper? Man, I was 16 years old. Come over and invite our family over. And I showed up. They brought a wrapped up concordance, a strong concordance. I didn't even know what a strong concordance was. He said, son, Paul Strickland said, son, you got called to preach? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're going to need this. And he gave me my first concordance. And he said, here's something else you might use, because our church was street preaching. He said, I want to give you something else you'll probably use. I said, what's that? It was a Scofield New Testament wrapped up in plastic. He said, this would be a good street preaching Bible for you. Man, I wore that thing out street preaching. They were just the kind of people that loved everybody. And everybody loved them. That's what we need to be. You know, when you just love people unconditionally, those people just love you back. And so the scripture goes on to tell us these things, and Onesiphorus, you know, if you read chapter 1, man, he sought Paul out very diligently whenever he was in Rome and in prison. Don't have time, but they're mentioned in the same verse. You can see Paul's intimate heart toward them. Here's the evaluation. Listen to me. When we examine their lives, no doubt they love the Lord. They embrace the providential hand of God in their lives, no matter how uncertain it seemed. They loved each other. No question, they were in love. They loved the preacher, and they loved preachers. They loved the church. They loved it so much, they let one be in their home. They loved the saints. They loved the scripture. They were like-minded. Every time you seen them, they saw them, they were in unity. They were pillars of the church. They were always involved helping. They opened their home up to the apostle. They opened their business up to the apostle. They opened their home up to the church. They were willing to even give their lives for Paul the apostle so the gospel could go on and be preached. They helped Apollos get his doctrine right. So a whole lot of people got help. I just want to say to y'all that you know what they wanted to do? They just wanted to be a help. Get involved. Be a help. Do it together. Do it together. You know what my conclusion is? God put you together because you'll be better together. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. God bless you, church. Brother, I'm